FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another pre-season special of This Club Is My Club. Later in the show, we're going to be getting some reaction to Sunday's FA Cup extra preliminary round tie for the women's team against West Kirby. But before that, it's to Saturday's friendly for the men's team as FC United hosted City of Liverpool at Broadhurst Park. And to hear how FC United got on, it's now time to hand over to our FC Live team on Saturday afternoon. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Broadhurst Park. And you join us here for the penultimate pre-season friendly of the summer. It's FC United against City of Liverpool, and you join us here on a simultaneous broadcast on FC Radio and FCM TV with the loving thanks of ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And joining us for this little chinwag pre-match, Keggy's here, everyone, over to my left-hand side.
How do?
And on my right, James Quinn's with us, everyone. Hi, James.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Since you last heard us in audio form, that was away at Clitheroe last week. There was a midweek game as well against Marine. We won't talk about the Marine game too much. Did you learn anything from that, James, that 4-1 defeat?
Well, I think we learned that Marine are very ambitious and want to be back in the division above where they are next season. FC did have a mixed bag in terms of trialists and so on. FC did take the lead, of course, early in the second half, but then got somewhat overrun. Neil Reynolds was pleased with what he saw. He was very positive afterwards. Of course, pre-season is not about results, particularly although results are always helpful. But on that occasion, I think Marina are very focused, are at home, and they did the job.
It's been a weird pre-season, Keg, really. I can't remember one that's been this up and down with results and performances. What do you think Neil's got out of it ultimately? Because you've got that performance against Barrow that was on FC TV a couple of weeks ago, which was a phenomenal display. And then you've got performances like that against Marine. Admittedly, it's a bit of a scratch team, really, and Fackley. But it's been really up and down. What do you make of it?
A real mixed bag. We've had pre-seasons in the past that have gone really, really well. We've battered teams and not lost a game and then had a horrendous start to the season, though. And we've had pre-seasons that have gone really badly and then got a flying start to the season very rarely. And so I wouldn't read too much into pre-season. I think it's about fitness. The one thing I would say, though, is from when we were last up here, we spoke to Renault about trialists, didn't we? And he said, are there any more trialists? Is that your squad? And he said, no, I'm not. I don't really looking at anyone now. Maybe a defender, maybe just one or two. And then at Clitheroe, I think we had about five.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a puzzle.
Because it's pre-season, trialists at this stage, I don't think Neil was telling a poker or anything like that. I just think some trialists have fallen on his lap since he last spoke to us. Because that was the case, wasn't it, with the goalkeeper? That was like, gives the game. Here's my CV, and it's like, oh, you've got quite a good CV. We'll go with you then for this afternoon, see what you're all about.
Mystery keeper, he had a good game. I watched the stream and listened to yourself.
Let's carry on talking about this game today. City Liverpool, who fan-owned club, spoke to them a few times on FC Radio, actually, got a political ethos in line with a fair few number of FCers, and they've come up from the North West Counties, now sitting a division below FC United in the North West division of the NPL.
Yeah, well, I think I was speaking to John, the club secretary, and basically the first couple of seasons, first few seasons, very successful, won trophies, went up, in 18, and then discovered very quickly they kept the, as loyalty, they kept the same squad, but realised after three or four games that in the NPL Northwest that that wasn't going to cut it. And so in the null and void season, in the end, they finished about 10th, which is obviously okay, but they were more ambitious than that. And they've added to the squad.
They have.
And they, in a way, this game will give you a good indicator of are they cut out to go for promotion and maybe at the similar level to a team like FC?
They're at a similar level already with Clitheroe. And we saw that was bonkers that last week.
It was.
That was so intense.
Excellent.
There was, let's call it banter in the crowd. And there was all kind of feistiness on the pitch as well.
It was truly competitive. And it was a really engaging contest. They're both teams trying to play football and both teams wanting to win the game. So I think that Neil Reynolds found out quite a bit about his team on that occasion.
One player who does start for City Liverpool, we'll go to team news and from an FC perspective in a minute, Nathan Burke. Have we ever seen that name before?
Here. Funnily enough.
I'm assuming that didn't work out then. Nathan Burke starts for City Liverpool. It was always going to be tough separating that midfield out with Griffiths and Potts, really. That's a tough assignment, isn't it? It's like the centre-back as well we had, who signed for Stalybridge recently. It's difficult, isn't it, breaking the pattern from last season?
Well, I think it's a really difficult one because Neil will feel that he needs cover. You know, we know that it's going to be two games a week for a long period and quite an intense season. So although his first choice of Griffiths and Potts will remain so, you'd expect, he needed somebody of the quality of Nathan Burke to be available. And you know, if a player feels he's going to be second fiddle and isn't happy with that, then it's always going to be hard to keep hold of them. So you know, it's an interesting quandary. There's another aspect to pre-season which is different, which Brian Reynolds, Neil Reynolds' assistant, was talking to me about, was the fact that normally by now the teams in the division above, the National League North, National League, have sorted out their teams. They've started playing and they've sorted out their teams. But because actually they'll be starting a bit later, or everybody's starting later, that it's not quite resolved, so that it's not clear which players are becoming available.
We've seen it with Buxton. Jack Sherratt, who was signed for Hyde United, he was at Buxton over the summer. He said he was training with 50 players at Buxton, and their recruitment's been off the scale. And there's no way on earth they're going to start with, or get to October with that squad the way it is at the minute. So if that's being replicated at an NPL club, it's going all the way up the pyramid, level of unavailability, let's say.
Just by the way, a bit of exciting breaking news. There's an additional substitute for FC United.
That is
number
exciting.
17 is David Chadwick. I mean, could
played
that
a half, didn't he, earlier in the week?
Yeah, some say it was under duress, but I'm starting to wonder if it is or not. I'm not convinced. Yes.
Well, it is. It's not a full bench for FC today. I'm sure we'll come onto the team shortly, but it's not a full bench. And Renault mentioned an 18-man squad, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the good news is that Dan Coquelin is back in. We saw him at Ecclesfield, didn't we, for the first pre-season.
Well, very
when they
briefly
got injured after 20-odd minutes. He starts, and he starts intriguingly with Michael Fowler as well. And that might be the right way to go because he's a bit of a target man, isn't he, Coquelin?
He is. He's a tall player, very inventive. Neil Reynolds very complimentary about him before the Ecclesfield game, but then unfortunately he actually pulled something in the warm-up, so played for 20 minutes but clearly wasn't fit. So it's quite exciting to see him, I think, hopefully back to full fitness. You wouldn't think FC would be risking him, and as you say, in partnership with Fowler, that gives a sign of real attacking intent for FC United. And
an interesting, Jack Lenehan is wearing number 2 again, like he did last Monday against Clitheroe. So, I mean, that's up for grabs, that right back spot with Aaron Morris. If Aaron Morris has to go into the middle, which I'm assuming he will be today, then there needs to be cover. And I think it's up for grabs with Donoghue, isn't it, and Lenehan?
Absolutely.
I presume that's our player availability notwithstanding. That looks like our strongest first team we're putting out today.
Minus Doyle,
I'd
suggest. And obviously Ennis maybe, and Donoghue's on the bench. Sinclair Smith starts after scoring midweek, which is good.
He's good with a header. He said his first ever headed goal, he said. Bit of kind of like Bobby Charlton in the European Cup final.
Did Carlos Rocca ever score a header?
Carlos, I can't think of... Not unless he scored it from somewhere almost on the byline.
No, get in touch, Carlos, and let us know. But anyway, Neil Reynolds coming out onto the pitch. So I think, without further ado, we should hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. This is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and the Armchair Army, available on TV and on radio. And it's Keg, but first, James Quinn.
Aaron Morris.
Good strong header.
Finley Sinclair Smith, though, but Rigby does well. Rigby. Finley Sinclair Smith snapping at his heels. Now it's with Nathan Burke. Burke going sideways. Barrow. Back to McCartan. McCartan will chip this out to the left-hand side for Rigby to chase. Rigby gets ahead on it. And Rigby gets it back. Important defending. Oh, but it's gone in. And Morris, I don't know what Morris is appealing for here, but... Well, Morris is...
Morris picked up what would look like quite an easy ball at that near post, didn't he?
But I'm just... Any thoughts, Keg, on what Morris is appealing for? He looked beside himself there.
But there was no pass across goal. We'll give it the benefit of doubt and call that a shot from that near post across the face of goal. It could have been across, and there may have been a player marginally offside, but in the end, it could have just easily been a shot. And it went in off the inside of that far post for the recap.
Yeah, well, FC didn't deal with that. And it's 1-0 City of Liverpool. Aaron Morris deep inside his own territory, back to Jones. Jones for FC United. Slides it through, nice ball there. Regan Linney checks well for Fowler. Fowler, edge of the box. Fowler plays it out left-hand side. Dodd. Now back to Linney, just outside the box, left-hand side. Chips it in. And it's done. And yes! It's a goal! And it's Fowler, and that was a delightful ball from Linney. Good interchange from FC United. Linney there took it on his right foot there, chipped it really exquisitely, and Fowler the man with the header, and FC United draw level.
That's it, everybody.
Good performance from FC United, particularly in the second half. Got the goal early on, would have hoped to have got more. And interestingly, FC United's use of substitutes really minimised here. Just Coquelin, and we think that might have been a fitness issue. He played 45 minutes.
Just to recap the game, James, it's finished FC United and Manchester 1, City and Liverpool 1. Jamie McDonald with the Liverpool goal on 13 minutes, and Michael Fowler with the equaliser on 49. If you just want to recap those goals for us.
First goal, a bit of a curious one from FC, didn't really deal with it. Aaron Morris appeared to, well, he was trying to clear the ball, but that... almost ricocheted off McDonald into the goal, and that gave City Liverpool the lead. But then just in the early part of the second half, 4 minutes into the second half, some really lovely play from FC, particularly the centrepiece of it was Regan Linney, who chipped it beautifully across, and Fowler perfectly positioned to nod the ball into the net. And chances after that, particularly for FC in the second half, couldn't quite execute. Absolutely brilliant save from Wheeler at one point off Regan Linney. A draw just about this fair result, but FC will be pleased with the performance, just looking to establish more and more of that cutting edge.
Stay with us. I presume we'll be joined by Reno for the post-match, so don't go anywhere. We'll have a live video interview and reaction shortly coming up to you. Thank you for joining us today. It's been an overall very pleasant Broadhurst Park to be back. As I say, feels like the season's almost started properly. Both teams are staying out on the pitch, supporting and applauding their own supporters. Each group, good group of Liverpool fans come over today for this, James.
Yeah, and in a way, despite the East Lancs Road divide, kindred clubs really, both born out of a sense of rebellion and creating something new and more positive. And good to have City of Liverpool with us this afternoon. And gradually, as Neil Reynolds sportingly applauds the opposing fans, as do the FC faithful, lots to think about for FC, but gradually things coming together perhaps, not in a straight line, But that was a good performance from FC against a very, very competitive City of Liverpool outfit.
Any standout performance for you today? On either side, for that matter.
Well, I think Griffiths was excellent. Kind of a disappointing end there with the cross, but he looks so composed. He's got time on the ball, time and space. I thought Potts was really good.
Linney in flashes.
And as the game wore on again, Linney, someone who's still on his way back from an injury, but he again has got that bit of time. And I think one of the pieces of the jigsaw for FC United is Fowler, which is slotting into place gradually. Got a goal today, not his first, of course, of pre-season, but a player who has clearly got a bit of quality. He's on loan from Fleetwood, and a young player, but a player who looks more experienced than he is, got something about him. And but FC need to keep players fit, and as we've alluded to earlier, that's why just one more pre-season friendly home to Trafford, and after that, to use Keg's phrase, being kept in cotton wool on the training ground, because FC cannot afford any more injuries. But there will be a pursuit, I'm sure, of one or two more names for FC, because very inexperienced bench, and as a result, really, Neil Reynolds not making full use of it, just bringing on Donoghue at half time for Coquelin, who probably needed the game, and then Cyril Olabi, who did pretty well when he came on at the right side of defence for Lenehan in the last sort of quarter of an hour or so.
Thanks for watching today. As I say, we've got post-match reaction coming up. We will be back, as we've said before, if you're joining us late, if you want to join us again on Tuesday night for the Manchester Premier Cup final against Trafford at Broaders Park. That will be streamed live and free to air as well. All donations gratefully received this evening and also on Tuesday night, and also in between, you know, if you can at all afford it or are capable of that, that would be much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Yes, good words from Keg, and of course, as everyone's aware, all clubs, and particularly clubs at this level, have lost a lot of income at the end of last season and early in the pre-season, and unable to generate income in the normal way, so any support that can be offered is gratefully received, and forgive us for repeating that request. It's just the nature of the beast at the moment. So as we await for Neil Reynolds, Dodd is he's kind of a real live wire on the left hand side, isn't he? He's such a threat, good, reliable generally defensively, and always available for the overlap. There's one or two times early on, I remember, particularly in today's game, where Fowler took a shot when Dodd had done an overlap, the left side and was clear and was ignored. But I think a player of real quality. We have Neil Reynolds with us. Thanks very much, Neil. And you'd say things are coming together, wouldn't you?
Yeah, really pleased with that, James, to be honest. It's difficult, isn't it, when teams come here, they look at the surrounding, they look at the pitch, and it gives you a lift straight away. And it wasn't that we was poor first half. I think that they got the goal, they sat deep. We tried a 4-4-2, but, you know, the lads usually prefer that link-up play. We could play with a 10. We sacrificed it. Dan at half-time brought Donners on, who wasn't 100%. Second half, I thought we were excellent. We just kept probing wave after wave, and keepers made some great saves. So, yeah, it's coming together. One more to go.
And notable that you really did not use many substitutions. Was it the intent to get this group of players to develop the chemistry and the cohesion?
Yeah,
really?
It's really important. So, you know, if I look around, to Morgan Homson-Smith isn't here. Charlie Ennis is still injured. Chris Doyle, Tom Stead. So I've got to try and, you know, depending on how fit they'll be for the start of the season, I've got to try and blend, you know, the lads that are out there today. I mean, there will be still a couple of changes, but on the whole, you know, on the whole, that if you think of Fowler down the middle, and, you know, Linney, Finn, you've got Griffin, Potsy, you know, getting that understanding, Doddy, Jack Lenehan. So it's really important, and we've one more to go. You know, we're looking forward to the pre-season games ending, and then, you know, giving us about 5 or 6 training sessions in preparation for Nantwich.
In terms of Doyle, obviously important player for you, are you going to have potentially a dilemma if he's nearly there, at the beginning of the season, but not fully match fit. Will that create a real dilemma for you about what how to line up?
Chris is amazing. He's an amazing centre-half, and we've missed him. You know, it's a calf injury. It's great to see him running today. We're hoping that he'll do a bit more running on Tuesday. But, you know, he's got his fitness, but he's a big miss. He's a big, big miss when he doesn't play. When he heads the ball, he puts it back, you know, 30, 40 yards. Curtis is a different type of player, and the understanding's great. We've signed Tonstead now, so, you know, he's a centre-half. Morris is, you know, traditionally a right-back. So it's just, we just haven't been able to get out of that back four that we've wanted, you know. But it'll come together. You know, when people are fit, it'll come together. But we've got depth now. We've got quality in different areas. So if Chris doesn't make it, then, you know, I've got Tonstead in there as well.
And you had your premier midfield pairing, and I felt that Potts, well, both of them, looked really, really on it today. Really coming towards
that. I said that at half time, James. I said that, you know, for me, the standout players in the first half was Griff, Potsy, and Regan Linney. I don't think Griff wasted a ball in the first half. I think it was only one in the second half, and his corner in the last minute that hit a divot. But he's brilliant. Potsy's tenacious. He's got forward. He's got a trick. He's nearly scored. They love playing together, you know, and I wouldn't like to play against them too. And people say to me, you've got the best midfield pairing in the league, so they've just got to keep working on it. And if, whatever reason, one dips or a little injury, we've got other people that can go in there. But they're good to play with, they're good to watch, and they're getting better.
Michael Fowler, just warming into his role, scoring today. Do you think there's still some way to go in terms of his relationship with the players behind him and around him, in terms of, you know, becoming the sort of finished article as part of the team?
He's different, isn't he? You know, there will be comparisons. He's bound to be, but he's different. Tundy scored goals last season, and I've said this before, but didn't bring a lot of people into play. I think Michael brings a lot of people into play. Will he score 37? Probably not. In fact, I'll say no, he won't. But I think people in behind him will score more goals because of his link-up play and his hold-up play. But again, he runs the channels, he works hard, he's got a great eye for goal. He'll get better. And I think, you know, you could see what he did in the first half, where he chased the ball back about 40, 50 yards and made a tackle through our dugout. And I know how much the fans appreciate that level of work ethic.
After we spoke a couple of weeks ago after the Barrow game up here, Renault, we asked about trialists and that side of it. And we said, no, well, I'm not looking at any. Maybe one or two positions, including the keeper, to be fair. But you have played a number of trialists since then. What's your thinking behind playing more? I didn't think you were going to.
I know, just injuries. Injuries and fatigue. Listen, people know now me. I only like 8 games in pre-season, and, you know, we've played more than that. And this is what happens. You get niggles, you get injuries. This is why I don't like playing the week before the season, because a grade 1 muscular injury takes 7 to 10 days to repair, and as soon as it gets training. You know, it's been a difficult pre-season. But you've seen, you know, we went to Marine on Wednesday with a scratch side on the back of Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. You know, 3 really tough games, and, you know, this has only just come on the back, 72 hours on the back of it. So the lads have done great. You know, I think on Tuesday will have been 5 games in 10 days. So we've had to bring people in. What I can say, you know, in terms of trialists, young Kane Dean at left back has now signed forms today. Tonstead has signed forms, so they're no longer trialists. And Labakum's joined us from Fylde. He's played 30 games for Torquay. It's competition for places. I think for me, you know, when a keeper of Dan Lavercombe's quality becomes available, it's difficult to say no. And you can see with his presence, he's 6'3". He takes things at high points, and he's different than Ollie. For me, they've got to scrap it out together. And you know, it's going to be a difficult decision for me to make. But that's what, you know, that's what I've got to do, and that's what I will do. Whoever it is behind the back four is going to have to develop a new relationship, because obviously Cam's gone, and they're going to have to hit the ground running. So it's likely that the keeper that starts on Tuesday will be the keeper that starts the season. So that's a clue. You know, I'm going to have another look at Cyril and make a decision after Tuesday. But, you know, we've only got 20. You know, we've only got 20, and young Sandro from the academy was on the bench today. He's done great. So we're not looking to bring in anything more. You know, I don't need any more headaches. I'm already going to have a selection headache come the first game of the season if everyone's fit. But I'd like to think that the fans could go, that's the team that's going to start the season, when you look at, you know, the keeper and then, you know, the back four, the midfield two, the three behind the striker. So we're not far away, and we're hoping on Tuesday night we might be able to, you know, get somewhere close to that starting 11 that we'll play against Antwich.
You've had some very non-friendly games. You've been very competitive games. They've been very good workouts, to be fair. How do you feel after the Barrow game, certainly, and certainly after this one, do you think teams, your Nantwich, are going to come here, try and nick a goal early and see how we react to that? How do you think teams are going to come here and play at the start of the season?
Like Smith found the one in the Nantwich dressing room when the managers was the team talk after last season.
Yeah.
So listen, it's, you know, it's all good fun, isn't it? You know, when the fixtures got released and, you know, Nantwich at home, it's a game that sticks in a lot of people's memories last
season. Absolutely, that's why I mentioned it.
And listen, it's football. You know, after the game, we had a drink together and we moved on, but still there'll be some needle. I'm sure they'll come here with a point to prove. We went there with a point to prove, and unfortunately, when the season ended and the fashion it did, you know, that game for me still fresh in the memory. What was it, 2-3 games before it all ended? So, listen, there's going to be points to prove, and it couldn't be a tougher start for either of us, because I think we'll both be at the top end, towards the top end of the table. But again, like I said to my lads, they'll come here, they'll look at the surroundings, they'll look at the pitch, and it'll raise the game, and we've just got to make sure that we continue to raise our game. So it's been difficult pre-season, you know, probably my fault. I said I don't believe in friendlies, but there's been some blood and thunder games. I think they all took a lot out of us. I think today, you know, took a lot out of us, but it's what it's about, and it's going to happen when the league kicks off. And what I don't want is a soft side. I want the side to be able to look after themselves with play a good brand of football, and I think we've got enough leaders out there that can look after themselves as well.
FC have a record of indifferent starts that this goes back for several years. What do you think you need to do so to start off with not playing catch up as FC normally do?
I just said to lads, last season was great.
Not build a squad from scratch.
Last pre-season was amazing. I think we won 1-1-1. We kept winning, and we didn't win for three games, did we? So, you know, this pre-season's been a little bit more indifferent. So I've just said to the lads in there, tongue in cheek, listen, you know, we haven't won every game, so that means we're going to win every game in the season. And we all laughed. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, what I do know and what the fans know is that we'll be ready. You know, we're not going to win every game of football. We play a certain way. I'd like to think that it's an attractive style of play. And when it clicks, is, you know, there's nothing better. You know, and I think we'll win more than we lose, but we will lose games along the way. And if that becomes the first game of the season, the second or the 20th, you know, it's going to happen. But we showed last season a character in this side after losing three games on the bounce and then scrapping back and, you know, going on that run that we went on.
And just finally, just to update on the injuries, who's in the frame to be ready for the beginning of the season?
Ennis will be ready.
Thompson Smith
will be ready. He's just been away on holiday and he's just had to do a test, as you do when you get back. So I think he'll be ready. I think he'll be here Tuesday. Tom Stead will be ready and he'll be back Tuesday. And it's touch and go with Doyle. And just fingers crossed that we don't pick any more injuries up. But, you know, you can never say never. So we've got to make sure that everyone's sharp and everyone's at it. Like I said, we've got 20 and I've got to narrow that down to 16. And what I said to the lads, don't knock on my door on the 19th of September and that's why you're not in. You've had plenty of games now to show me. And I think a lot of lads have shown me. And, you know, we won't be too dissimilar to what we was last season. And, you know, I think what FC want is that side, that group of players that are here for 3, 4, 5 years who people can get a real affiliation with, and you know that's what I want. Trust me, there's no second season syndrome here. The lads want to do really well, and you know there's a real hunger in that dressing room, so you know we'll be ready.
Neil Reynolds there speaking to James and Keg on Saturday afternoon following that 1-1 draw with City of Liverpool. To the women's team now. And on Sunday, FC United took part in their first competitive outing of the 2021 season as FC hosted West Kirby in the extra preliminary round of this season's FA Cup. And to hear how FC United got on, it's time to hand over to Women's Team Live on Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to Women's Team Live, and you join us here for this extra preliminary round match between FC United of Manchester and West Kirby in the FA Cup. And I'm pleased to say we've kicked off slightly earlier, and within a minute of the game kicking off, FC United have just this second taken the lead. Quite remarkable start to the game for FC United. An in-swinging corner from the left-hand side and headed in there on the near post. So it's Beth Hayes who scored that goal. A good start from FC. And here is Emily Marsh now on the halfway line. Forward it goes to Smith. Smith takes that touch, but it's cut out. Smith plays the ball to Fields. Fields on the halfway line now. Plays it along the halfway line to the left-hand side to Alicia Marsh, who takes a touch and then releases a pass to Chambers, who's in a bit of space on this left-hand touchline. She's moving towards the fullback now and the penalty area. Dinks one way, dinks the other. Cross comes in. That's a great ball to Mavra on the back post. And there's Mavra to slot home to make it 2-0. That was a great piece of play there. Marsh, nice ball there to find Fields. Fields can help this ball on its way here to Mather, who's on his left-hand side now. Switch wings with Kirsty Chambers from that corner. Shot comes in, and Mather there, a sensational effort. And on 35 minutes, it's 3-0 to FC United. Mather there with another goal 3 minutes after her first one. And, well, it's that's probably FC United through to the next round of the FA Cup without being too presumptuous, but what an effort from Corey Mather. Switch wings with Kirsty Chambers on her right foot, comes in field, and there was nothing that Katie Seeger could do with that one. And into the top corner, FC United 3-0 up. Smith, just inside FC's half, outside of her boot, plays it to Alicia Marsh, over the halfway line she comes. Can't find the right pass though, cut out, but patient, picks up the second ball and gets it to Fields. Fields now got options left, right and centre. Long ball play forward. Flag stays down. Here's Chambers now. Jinx in field on her left foot towards the penalty spot. Surely. There you go. FC United with a fourth goal. FC United skipper Kirsty Chambers there. And once the flag stays down, goes towards the bar and comes in. Beats one player, beats the second on her left foot. No stopping it really. And FC United make it 4-0. 41 minutes played. Here's Cara Fields now. Fields looking for the right pass into West Kirby's box. It's flicked on its way there by Richardson, and Smith is onside, and that is absolutely superb stuff from FC United. What a cheeky little flick on there from Natalie Richardson to find Smith, and well, it was a great finish in the end, and it's now 5-0. Now FC United back on the ball with Cunliffe. Cunliffe now plays a pass, a through ball down the right-hand side for Mather. Cross comes in, straight to Chambers, 6 yards out. And, well, a great start to the second half. FC United make it 6-0. Great work there from Mather. Great ball in and a fine finish from Kirsty Chambers. 6 or so yards out. Not going to miss that. And FC United 6-0 up. Pushing out to the left-hand side to Marsh. Marsh there to Chambers. Chambers now to move forward. Got an overlap there for Marsh, but Chambers doesn't need her. Chambers still with the ball. Cross comes in. There's Richardson. That's just overhead. And it's kept in play by Mather. Shot comes in. Charged down. Cunliffe with a second attempt. And it's now 7-0 to FC United. And we've had just 6 minutes of this second half. And here's Chambers now. Chambers lining up a shot from distance. And I had the privilege of being right behind that goal. That was a superb effort from Kirsty Chambers. 25 yards out. Goalkeeper with no chance. And Kirsty Chambers not only scoring the eighth goal for FC United, but a hat-trick for this afternoon. And not a bad afternoon's work there for the FC United captain. So 13 minutes into the second half, a corner to FC United. It's going to be Natalie Richardson to take it again from the left-hand side. Got Patient in the box, Cunliffe, Cork, Mather on the back post, Hayes marking the goalkeeper. Cross comes in, and well, I think that was Chelsea Patient who won that header. A great ball in from Richardson, in all fairness, and he just needed someone to put the head on it. And that someone in this instance, I think, was Chelsea Patient to make it 9-0. It's now Emily Marsh moving forward inside the Kirby half. And that is a great ball by Marsh. What a ball that is to Chambers. Chambers crosses it into Cunliffe. And it's double figures. And really, Cunliffe scored that goal. Chambers set it up. But really, what a sensational ball from Emily Marsh. But Patient cuts out the pass. Here's O'Gara. Back to Patient. Patient looking to get this ball back. A return pass. Patient is onside. And Chelsea Patient there with her second goal. Great build-up play. And, well, it was Tony Adams-esque, that one. It was a return pass. And Chelsea Patient keeping a run going and slotting the ball home. And with 16 minutes left to play of this game, it is now 11-0. And now FC United on the attack again. There's Mather on the back post. And Mather with her hat-trick. And, well, a great ball in for Kirsty Chambers. Mather kind of repeating the first goal she scored many moons ago in this game. And it's now 12-0. And on the 75th minute, we've got 11 minutes left to play of this game. And it's going to be a corner ball from the left-hand side. And it comes from Hayes, cleared. Right, wins the ball back. Right, from distance, stinging shot deflected. And would you believe it? Abby Wright, the substitute fullback who's come on, has scored on her competitive debut. It did take a deflection, which took it past the keeper, but with 79 minutes played, it is now 13-0. And that is full time here for the first competitive game of the 2021 season. The extra preliminary round tie in the FA Cup, and well, FC United have been really cutthroat this afternoon. They scored the first goal within a couple of minutes, and it was a cross comes in, Beth Hayes, and it's 1-0 to FC United. But then FC, the passing was there, but it wasn't quite happening. There was a couple of chances and that kind of thing, but really the floodgates opened after 32 minutes with Mava scoring. She scored again 3 minutes later. She actually helped herself to a hat-trick, scoring on 75 minutes. And speaking of hat-tricks, we do have to mention Kirsty Chambers, the skipper. She scored a hat-trick this afternoon. There's been two goals as well scored by Chelsea Patient, who's had a really impressive game. There was also two goals for substitute Kaylee Cunliffe. Abby Wright has scored on her competitive debut for FC. But that's your 13 goals. I don't think I've missed anyone out. If I have, I do apologise. It's because of my poor handwriting. But safe to say, FC United safely through to the next round of the FA Cup. A very, very impressive outing from Cameron Hussein's side. For this club is Michael listeners, we'll have some post-match reaction now. What I'm going to try and do is I'm going to go off air here from the balcony, and then I'm going to head downstairs, and in that time, hopefully I'll be able to pick up a word or two with somebody. So stick around. But if I don't get anybody, thank you for listening, and you'll be hearing from us again very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm here with Cameron Hussein, FC United Women's Teams manager. It's his second attempt at his first match. Last set all being scrubbed. Slightly more successful this time round, though, a 13-0 win against West Kirby in the FA Cup extra preliminary. Was there anything that you saw that you didn't like today? I mean, it was ticks all round, really.
Yeah, I thought we started off a little bit slow out of the traps, and we fortunately got an own goal, but then after that, a little bit of frustration kicked in, and I think that was probably the only negative, where we took a little bit while to settle down and get into the game. But then as soon as we got the second goal, we were flying, really, and we never looked back from there, really.
Yeah, we had a couple of little bursts, didn't we, around. There was sort of like three quick goals around the half-hour mark, and then again, once we came back out for the second half, when we needed to, unlike sometimes last season, we punished them this time round. When we got in front of net.
Yeah, I think the team's a little bit more settled this year, and that's been kind of the message, building on the blocks from last year, and being a little bit more ruthless, and being hitting a lot more goals with conviction as well. And I thought we saw that, especially in the second half, we came out, and that was pretty much the half-time team talk of maintaining the standards and having that conviction of putting them really under pressure and getting as many goals as possible. And the girls have come out and done themselves proud today.
Yeah, I like the way a lot of the moves came in. They weren't. It's nice when you get a bit of individual trickery. A lot of good, well-worked moves coming in from the corners, mostly by the wingers as well, getting a hat-trick each. So there was a lot of wing work today. Was that something you worked on a little bit more over the week, over the pre-season, or is that just the way today worked?
I think it depends on the opponent, and they kind of put a lot of bodies through the middle, so we knew that it was pivotal to try and get it down into wide areas and try and make them pay for it and get in and around behind them as quick as possible. But it's a team effort. We've done a lot of pattern playing works and scenario based kind of situations where we want them to try and use their individual brilliance, like you said, but a lot of combination play, and it's come out and it's really shown today, which is nice.
Yeah, it's always nice seeing individual skill, but when a team's well worked and well moved through the whole team, you really get a confidence that they're clicking, and it's rare that you get that on game one of a season. But game two is going to be at least a fortnight away as far as competitive goes. But there's a friendly next week in York.
Yeah, so we've been working on quite a heavy pre-season, and I think this is the final hurdle, really, of York City away. They're in the North East Division, so equivalent to us. They've recruited heavily in terms of players in the league above, very similar to us. They've got a really good coaching staff, where they've got the Barnsley manager from the league above and a few who've been previously in leagues above. So it'll be a really even contest, and something that I think we really need, and it'll challenge us. So I think that'll be a nice little final challenge for pre-season, and it's a nice trip out to York as well. So it'll be an exciting time next week to see where we're at the final stage of pre-season, ready for the next round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, well, if it's a day that's
finishing like this one, it'll be a nice day for fans. Will any be allowed in the ground, do we know?
The facility has only just recently reopened, so I'm hoping to get confirmation that they'll be allowed at least outside the 3G or wherever the pitch is.
Similar to today, then, maybe just staff and officials. Yeah, I mean, it worked well today. I mean,
yeah, the girls have loved having people back, and I think they've done real well in staying in the little bubbles and groups and social distancing. And I think it's just made a massive difference in terms of playing with a bit of an atmosphere, which I think the girls have missed massively. And playing under a little bit of pressure, because it is nice to do that. So it's been nice to do that in pre-season, and hopefully we get a few at York next week and we crack on for the next round of the FA Cup after that.
Right, well, we'll see if fans are allowed in. We'll keep ourself plugged into online media and see what's going on through the week. Thanks very much, Cameron Hussain.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Women's Team Live. We should say, doing this all live nowadays, even on the pitch, Rob. Matchday Secretary for the Women's Team joins us now. I mean, I could have interviewed some of the women's team as they're going off there, but they all looked pretty knackered, if I'm being honest. And who could blame them, really? I mean, that was such an impressive performance for the first competitive game of the season.
Very much so, impressive performance. And technically, Cameron's first game in charge, if you count that last season was scrubbed. So we've had a good performance there. Everyone was up for it. Even our centre-half, Chelsea Patient, in with a couple of goals herself, which was great to see. And, very, very encouraging as we move on now to the preliminary round in a couple of weeks' time.
I was going to say, I mean, when it comes to fixtures, some people... I mean, this fixture came out of nowhere, really, didn't it? Yeah. Where are we up to with fixtures? Because we know how the men's team's working out with the Northern Premier League. What's it looking like in the North West Women's League?
OK, so we've got, as I say, FA Cup again in a couple of weeks' time. Around that time, the fixtures should be out for our league season, which kicks off on the 4th of October.
4th of October, OK. So when it comes to the FA Cup, then, this is the only show in town for September, so it was good news.
Yeah, it was good news. There is another tie now, as a courtesy of today, in a fortnight's time, and we've been drawn at home again. So hopefully we'll get inside the ground for that one. And let's see what who we draw and what we can do. But that's the extra preliminary round out of the way and into the preliminaries now.
Well, walk back to the office, me and thee. I like this new mobile talky stuff. When it comes to the changes that have happened, I mean, I was quite surprised because the Twitter feed I've been following, and throughout the summer it's been, you know, a couple of people, players coming in, a couple of departures, Fran Davis being the biggest one. Yeah. But really, there wasn't too much different, really. It was everyone I recognised. I was quite surprised with our intensity and the way it was all working out and just how cutthroat we were.
Yeah, I think Cameron's done well in pre-season in picking games that have been really hard for us. So last week, two divisions higher against Huddersfield Town, and despite the defeat, the girls learnt a lot from that and did really well. So he's picked games that have really tested us and not against opposition we're likely to meet this season, certainly not from other leagues, obviously. So he's got them prepared, he's built a good squad. There's some people coming back, who've come back into the squad, Alicia Marsh, Jade Parker, and we'll see where it takes us. But yeah, I'm very encouraged by that opening display.
What was your pick of the goals then?
Probably Kirsty. Second or third goal, was it?
It's like some kind of GCSE test I'm giving you, comprehension.
You've given me a real challenge there, the pick of the goals. The pick of the nearly goals was Natalie Richardson, the centre-forward today, who unfortunately didn't get a goal, but was there for everyone else, and she flicked up a couple of times and just missed the far post in the dying minutes, much to her chagrin. But the pick of the goals was probably the one from the second goal from Kirsty.
Well, breaking news then on Women's Team Live. You heard it here first. There will be another FA Cup game, a home game, in a couple of weeks' time. We wait and see who that opponent is. Right. But if it's anything like today, it should be a good afternoon. I feel very cautious in saying get yourself down here and watch. I don't know where we are with all that at the minute. But
well, if we're in the ground, there's possibly there's 600 in there yesterday for the men's game against City Liverpool. So I think that would be a good indication that we can get certainly a women's women's crowd in there. But again, that's entirely up to the club, and hopefully they'll come through on that. It'll be great.
Well, onwards and upwards. Thank you, Rob, for joining us.
Thank you,
for this little broadcast.
Nice to see you, and welcome back.
No worries at all, it's my pleasure. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time for Women's Team Live. But next commentary, men's team, Tuesday night here at Broaders Park in the not the Frank Hanna Manchester Premier Cup final against Trafford, pre-season friendly, last one of the summer. Join us from 7:30 on Tuesday, and Women's Team Live returning in a couple of weeks, hopefully in the main stadium. Thank you, Rob. Thank you to you, dear listener, for joining us. And well done, FC United. 13-0, and as the bell chimes, we've got to go.
Women's team match secretary Rob Fullen there joining me on the 3G pitch following that brilliant 13-0 victory for FC United on Sunday afternoon in the Women's FA Cup. And before that, it was Neil Boo talking to women's team manager Cameron Hussein. Remember, the next commentary on FC Radio will be that simultaneous broadcast with FCM TV on Tuesday night as FC hosts Trafford at Broadhurst Park. Join us from 7:30 on the usual channels. But that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You make sure that you all have a lovely week, and you'll be hearing from us again soon. Bye bye.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.